Podcasts from the Cochrane Library, the latest evidence for healthcare decision making.
I'm John Hilton, editor at the Cochrane Editorial Unit. In response to an editorial suggesting that trials using invasive placebos should be excluded from Cochrane reviews, David Kalmers and co-authors write their own editorial with an opposing view. Here, Dr. Kalmers from the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, USA, describes why he thinks trials using invasive controls should be included in Cochrane reviews.
We find it fascinating that both Sina et al. And ourselves begin at exactly the same point, that is, patient protection is paramount, yet we end up at diametrically opposing views regarding the use of invasive placebos in randomized controlled trials, or RCTs. Protection of patients in clinical practice requires that we determine whether treatments are effective and offer a favorable risk-benefit ratio. This determination requires research to evaluate treatments. In doing research, we need to be concerned about two potentially competing considerations. The first consideration is protection of patient/participants, and the second consideration is scientifically sound methodology to answer important research questions. We believe that in certain circumstances, the use of an invasive procedure strictly as a control intervention in the setting of an RCT for pain palliation is not only ethical, but also essential for patient protection. The genesis of the divergent views between our position and that of Sina et al. Is that the authors in their editorial offer a simplistic analysis of the risk-benefit balance in RCTs. Specifically, Sina et al. Have assigned all potential risk to the placebo arm and apparently all benefit to the treatment arm. We propose that the risk-benefit analysis is far more complex than they seem to be assuming that it is. Typically, RCTs to evaluate treatments to relieve pain pose a central question. That question is the apparent benefit derived from the treatment related to the treatment itself, or from some other factor? Uncertainty regarding cause and effect, rather than simple correlation between outcome and intervention, is rife throughout the pain palliation world. For example, in the area of spine augmentation for painful vertebral compression fractures, there exist myriad questions about the mechanism for the observed benefit following the treatment. First, does the benefit derive from the natural history of the disease? Second, from the placebo effect? Or third, from the impact of local anesthetic or other factors during the procedure? These questions are not merely academic. Numerous reports of serious complications resulting from cement infusion during spine augmentation, including additional further vertebral fractures, rib fractures, cord compression, osteomyelitis, pulmonary embolism, and even death, demonstrate clearly that treatment is not benign. Furthermore, distinguishing cement-related effects from, quote, non-specific, unquote, factors, such as the placebo effect, or even the impact of local anesthesia, can only be done in the setting of a blinded trial that utilizes an invasive control arm. The debate over the ethics of sham-controlled trials is made even more volatile through the use of imprecise charge terminology. The use of the word sham as a synonym for the implementation of a carefully considered, appropriate comparator to an invasive treatment is frankly pejorative. Indeed, sham conjures up images of snake oil salespeople and other unethical purveyors of various trades. As in standard placebo-controlled trials evaluating drugs, prospective participants in studies of invasive treatments are informed that they will be randomized to either a treatment used in clinical practice that has not been validated scientifically or an invasive control intervention that is not intended as a therapeutic modality. Hence, patient participants agree to the potential of receiving the sham intervention. The control intervention may be therapeutic if it involves activation such as local anesthetics. As such, sham procedures are more accurately described as, quote, control interventions, unquote, that provide, in many cases, the ideal mechanism for determining whether a potentially dangerous and unvalidated treatment is, in fact, an appropriate therapy. Invasive control interventions are no different in principle from any other research-only procedure, which include research biopsies or lumbar punctures, that are routinely employed in RCTs to measure study outcomes, not specifically to benefit patient participants. These invasive control interventions, such as biopsies or lumbar punctures, are justified by virtue of being necessary to produce scientifically valid data and by ensuring that the risks are minimized and not excessive. In the case of control interventions for rigorous trials of procedures to treat pain from vertebral fractures, the risks, if any, are minimal. Because these control interventions do not inject cement into the spines of patient subjects, these control interventions almost certainly are lower risk than the treatment interventions under evaluation. The use of an invasive control procedure in our two trials of vertebroplasty for painful osteoporotic vertebral compression fractures was ethically justifiable. The study question was important and would yield valuable knowledge. A placebo control was methodologically necessary to test the study hypothesis. The risk of the placebo intervention was minimized and did not exceed the threshold of acceptable research risk. Finally, the use of a, quote, sham, unquote, control was fully disclosed and authorized during the informed consent process. Furthermore, our negative spine augmentation trial results have shown, not for the first time, the dangers of relying on studies at greater risk of bias to assess treatment efficacy for invasive procedures. We believe that the argument put forth by Cena et al. Is a simplistic, one-sided analysis that fails to appreciate the clinical value of rigorous trials for treatments to relieve pain, and that assigns all risk to the placebo and all benefit to the treatment. Their editorial fails to acknowledge the treatments widely adopted in clinical practice without rigorous evaluation may carry serious risk without compensating benefits, or that sham or control interventions may be instrumental in providing substantial patient protection by uncovering non-therapeutic and potentially harmful treatments. As such, high-quality, blinded trials with invasive but limited risk control groups remain an essential and ethically justifiable way to protect patients in routine clinical care. The amount of risk to which the control group is exposed certainly can be customized as needed. For example, in the vertebroplasty trials, the control group did not undergo cannulation of the vertebral body with the cement infusion needles, even though that design would have been the most pure, since we did not want to expose control patients to the small but elevated risk of such needle placement. Further, regarding the issue of informed consent raised by Cena et al., it is likely that many patients who, quote, consent, unquote, to be treated with an emerging yet unproven technology may lack deep understanding of the ongoing certainty that surrounds the procedure. We concur that the Cochrane collaboration is ideally placed to promote ethical and scientifically valid research. However, we believe that the exclusion of studies that use invasive placebos in systematic reviews may, in itself, pose serious harm.
To read this editorial, and the editorial with the opposing view, please visit the Cochrane Library homepage at www.thecochranelibrary.com.